So, we are in Revelation chapter 14, right? And maybe someone can turn to Revelation 14. Although it's in Revelation 14, and 14 is related to Revelation chapter 9. Okay? But in let's go back to 14 a little bit, yeah? Just to have an introduction to this section here. So in Revelation chapter 14, you have the rapture of the first fruits. So you may ask, what's going to happen to the rest of the believers? That's a legitimate question. Right. So in order to know this, let us just quickly jump to Revelation chapter 4. We are already in Revelation chapter 14. So after the rapture, you can see the Lord sent an angel to preach a different gospel. God is really a merciful God. But you have to realize something. The age of grace, the age of the new covenant is finished, over. No more. Right. At this time, the gospel of grace is finished. That's why God has to send the angel now to preach a different gospel. Right. It is still a gospel, but it's no longer the gospel of grace. The new covenant is over. Just like when the new covenant started, the old covenant is over. Right? You cannot go back to the old covenant because the new covenant is working right now, but it's coming closely to an end. Soon it's going to. So if you ask the question, then what happened? What will happen to people at that time? Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 14, okay? So, after this, talking about the first fruits, and we better be the first fruits, okay? There's no other choice. It's not that you can choose, but of course you have to choose. But of course everybody wants to be part of the first fruits. So now, in verse 6, after verse 5, you have verse 6 in Revelation chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to the unbelievers, no more the Christians now. The Christians will be persecuted then, but to those people who are remaining on this earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Remember, our gospel of grace, the angels have no right to even preach it. Remember, the word says that. That's why Cornelius was asked to go and fetch who?
Peter.
Why not? The angels could have just preached the gospel to Cornelius. Not qualified. They're not allowed to. Why? Because salvation is not for them, it's for man. God did not put on angels, right, in Hebrews, but he put on the seed of Abraham. Right? So you can see now this angel, this gospel is preached by an angel in somewhere flying around. Would you like to preach such a gospel flying around? Sorry, you don't have wings. It is the gospel preached to the nations. What kind of a gospel is it? Called everlasting. Why is it called everlasting? Because it is everlasting. Everlasting means from the very beginning to the very end, all the time. Why? Because God created everything. And every creature must listen to this everlasting gospel. What is it? Saying with a loud voice, fear God. Because at that time, everybody knows already God exists. Chapter 6 tells us everybody, from the biggest to the smallest, they all know the day of God's wrath has come. And they're all afraid. So they know God. But the gospel here is not to believe in God, because at that time they already know God. So what do? If you know that He's God, you learn to fear Him. Fear God. Yeah. It says, fear God. Yeah. And give glory to Him. Ah. Some people fear God, but they don't give God the glory. And that means they don't really fear God. If you fear God, you give Him the glory. Yeah. For the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the springs of water. That's the gospel. It's not believing the Lord who died for you. That's over. The gospel of salvation, being born again, having eternal life, is over. No, beginning from this time, that gospel of grace is over. Now, these people on this earth at that time will be judged according to their attitude now toward God. But unfortunately, as John read a few days ago, that although God gave such a terrible judgment, they still did not repent. People are so hardened. They're not even afraid. You'll go to hell. It does not matter. They don't even care. They don't even care. So, today, Hebrews did tell us, harden not your heart. If you hear the speaking of the Holy Spirit, it says, harden not your heart. We Christians can be hardened too. Right? We don't believe everything that God says. And many times the Lord says, don't do it, we still went ahead and do it. Clearly knew that that thing is wrong, I shouldn't be doing there. What am I doing there? I shouldn't go even going there. Huh? But still go. That means our heart is hardened. We don't do what He says. So this is the gospel that is going to be preached during that 3.5 years. It's God's mercy. Right? That's why I like the name mercy. God is merciful. Every time I see mercy, I thank God for His mercy. Because it's all by the mercy of the Lord that we are here. That He is showing us what's going to happen, to warn us, even to save us, to help us to make it to the goal, to the glorious goal. So this is God's mercy to the people in that time. And if you want to know what is the result of this gospel, you have to go to Matthew chapter 25, the last parable. When the Lord comes, He is going to separate the people of this world who were unbelievers then, right? And He divided them into two groups, the sheep and the goats. Those are not the Christians now. They are the remaining people in the world that are still alive when the Lord comes. But how are the Lord going to divide these people? Who would be qualified to be the sheep? And who will be qualified to be the goat? So, I'll leave it to you to read it yourself. So, you can see how righteous and loving our God is. So he still gave a chance, not for them to be saved like we, but to go on in the millennial kingdom to be the nations. Otherwise, who are you going to rule? The dogs, the birds, all the animals, all the insects? No. All right. We are going to rule. Where is it written? Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Right, verse 10. Right, 11, 10. Right. 10 and verse 11. Yeah, would you please read?
Revelation chapter 5, verse 10.
Or 9 before verse 9 first.
Yeah, okay. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scrolls and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed them to God by your blood."
Period.
No. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation.
Oh, okay. Period.
No.
No. What?
And
no.
Have made them kings.
Go to heaven.
No. Made them kings and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the heaven. Earth. Not in heaven, on earth.
They shall rule and reign on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody likes to go to heaven. I don't know. What is it going to do in heaven? You like to go to heaven? Well, why not? Take a visit. What are you going to do in heaven? You tell me. Even the Lord wants to come down to this earth. At the end of the Bible, you can see the new heavenly Jerusalem coming. No, going even higher. No, not going even higher. Is this coming? What? Where? Oh, they just dropped down. Too heavy. Well, you might land on the sea and drown. Coming down out of heaven from God. It is God's plan. And you think God will stay there and New Jerusalem come down? No. Because God's throne is there in the New Jerusalem. The throne of God and the Lamb. So it cannot be that the New Jerusalem, the holy city, comes down, but God remains there. It doesn't make sense. So that means God will come down with the New Jerusalem on this earth. That's why it says, "We shall reign on the earth." You think Saturn is beautiful? Mars, you want to go to Mars? Live there? Oh, what about the moon? What about going to the moon? You like to be there? Move to the moon. Maybe we'll establish a university there for you. There's nothing there. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? What is the most wonderful creature and created by God on this earth? The gorilla? You want to be a gorilla? Oh, no. What about a parrot with many different colors? Beautiful feathers. It can even talk. Right? Would you like to be a parrot? Ah. What animal do you think is beautiful so that maybe you have a choice?" We spoke about Adam, right? God created Adam. And all the animals are in pairs, but poor Adam is by himself. So God told Adam, choose among the animals. Would you like to choose? among. Go to the zoo in Stuttgart and choose one. No. So God caused him to go to sleep, took a rib out of Adam, and made Eve, which is bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Then she is qualified to be the companion of Adam. So man is really wonderful. Man is wonderful. So God is coming down here, and he's going to rule. Remember, the Lord said, even in Ezekiel, concerning his temple there, when he comes, he will build that temple in Jerusalem, and he says, my throne will be here forever. The Lord is going to rule out of Zion. Wonderful. This is why the devil wants this earth. There's so many planets. How come he didn't choose one up there? And just leave us alone, okay? Tell the devil, stay up there, leave us alone. I wonder why he is cast down. I would have suggested cast him down to Venus. Right. No, the earth, because the Lord is going to destroy him on this earth. Praise the Lord. We have to see the big picture here. What the end will be. The end is the most exciting. In the whole of Bible, the end is the most wonderful book. But many Christians are afraid to read it. I don't know why, but there must be a reason. Okay, I'm sorry. The picture disappeared. So, we need to see. Revelation chapter 14 tells us. Oh, there it is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's back. Thank you, Vince. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Right. So, but we are concerned. What we are concerned about is Revelation chapter 14, the first part. And then there's another part that is also interesting for us, is the final harvest. In Revelation chapter 14, in the last few verses, am I in Revelation 14 here? Right? In the Revelation 14, verse 15, and another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on a cloud. At this time, the Lord is already on the cloud. From the throne to the cloud. That's why Revelation chapter 1 says, behold, he comes in the clouds. Huh? Sorry? You should read verse 14. Yeah, verse 14. Okay, read verse 14. Ah, yeah, you're right. Then I looked, behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having his head a golden crown, and his hand, what? What is a sickle for? Yeah. Not a rod of iron. No. It's a sickle for the harvest. And then the other angel says, to the one who sat on a cloud, thrust in the sickle and reap. For the time has come for you to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. So which harvest is this? It's the rest of the remaining believers and of God's people. Yeah. So which harvest would you prefer to be? The first fruits or the last harvest?
First fruits.
The first fruit is taken up first. The last harvest is later. But then you have to go through the heat. You have to go through persecution. You have to go through a lot of troubles and tribulation. Well, you know, that also helps us to be ripened. Yeah. Well, you have to ripen sometime.
That's right.
Right. So, better the first fruits.
That's right.
Ripen first and be harvested. But then, you see, that's why we are very clear, they are raptured, harvested. It didn't say raptured, but harvested. Where to? To the throne?
No.
To the cloud. Not high enough, right? How did you come here? To find an airplane, how high did you go? Did you go oh, the cloud? That's as high as this harvest would go. This is why 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says we will all be taken up to the air. That's a very big difference than being raptured, taken up to the throne. Both the man-child and the first fruits, they were taken up to the throne. This is very important, the cloud. The cloud is halfway between the throne and the earth. If we want to go, let's go all the way up there. Okay. Don't go halfway. Would you prefer to go halfway? Praise the Lord. Right. I don't want to meet you halfway, okay? I'm going to meet you on the throne up there. Let's all meet each other with the Lord up there in the throne, not halfway in the clouds. Right. So, the clouds will hide anything that is above, isn't it? So when the Lord, with the overcoming ones, coming down, right, it will be for the judgment seat. And then from there, the Lord will come down with his army to end this age, the battle of the Armageddon. Right. So this is very good to see. We need to see that. And that's not the end of the harvest. There is another harvest here. Now, this is the harvest of those evil things. The whole evil in this world will also be ripened. Sin will also ripen. So you can see here, another angel came out from the altar. Here, verse 18. Who had power over fire. And he cried with a loud voice, with a loud cry to him who had another sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the cluster of vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe, the grapes. Why the Lord used grapes here? Because there's a lot of juice, especially the red grapes, signifies a lot of blood coming out. Right. So, where are we? Oh, I'm in chapter 16 here. I'm sorry. It jumps. Right. Now, let us take a look at this final harvest. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered a vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. The great winepress. And the winepress was trampled outside the city. Which city? New York? No, it's Jerusalem, as prophesied in Zechariah. Right. Outside the city, in Zechariah chapter 14, he says, the blood, and 12, sorry, and the blood came out of the wine place a wine press up to the horse's bridle. 1,600 furlongs, my, the whole valley becomes a river of blood. Because the armies of the whole world is gathered there. Zechariah already talked about it. At that time the Lord will gather all the armies of the world to Jerusalem. Outside of Jerusalem is a whole valley there. So this is what's going to happen at the end. That's why you have in chapter 19 the army coming down. We need to see this because the Lord wants to show us. And it's very important to know the end. Because right now it looks like everything is still so nice and peaceful and wonderful. Right? Not like before. California is very different than before, okay. Los Angeles is very different too, right? Things change. From good to bad, from bad to worse. So, this will be the end. This will be the end. But what we want, you can imagine that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, yeah. So, you can see that this part belongs to the woe here. Bring it down, please, a little bit. So, in Revelation chapter 9, maybe tonight we can jump there to 8 and 9, these two chapters. And if you understand the chart, you will see that all these chapters here are complementary details of events related to chapters 7 to 10. So all these chapters that we wrote here related to chapter 9. If you see that, then that's it. Revelation, the book of Revelation becomes very simple. To all of us. Right? Clear? Christina? Klar? Alles klar? Right. And, yeah, the Lord really led us to do this chart. Because our desire is that all the saints will have a clear view of the book of Revelation. And if you don't see this chart, it is confusing at times. But once you see this chart, then you will fully apprehend and understand. So, may the Lord have mercy on us. This is very crucial for us to know, especially this part, because we are going to experience it. Right. This is why we are excited to see Trump coming back. And we knew he was going to come back. A lot of people didn't believe that. But because God has given him a very important job to do, he is the present-day Cyrus. You saw those coins from Israel. Even if the world didn't... Yeah, look... Wonderful. Thank you. Right. You see this? Who is this? Trump. And who is this? King Cyrus. This is the insignia of the President of the United States, and this is the Kingdom of Persia. And this is King Cyrus. Right? And then it says, and he charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem. That is written, the proclamation of King Cyrus in Ezra chapter 1. This is why God chose King Cyrus not to start the kingdom of Persia, although that is a part of it, definitely. But God has a plan. And he used King Cyrus to help Israel to come back to Jerusalem to do what? To rebuild the city and to rebuild the temple. So this verse is here and to fulfill the 70 years. Praise the Lord. And this is the time when Trump declared Jerusalem to be the eternal capital of Israel. And immediately the Temple Institute in Israel issued this coin. They know. We have to believe that God is sovereign. I don't think it's just a coin. No. It is the sovereignty of God to warn us, to show us. And the Jews did believe that Trump is the modern day King Cyrus. And by the Lord's grace, he also showed us before this coin even was issued. You remember when we were having a conference in Stuttgart concerning Isaiah? And the Lord spoke to us clearly. This man is the modern day King Cyrus to help Israel fulfill God's plan. Not, I don't want to say that, not MAGA. Because it's the end of democracy. What's the use of MAGA? Right. So, praise the Lord. Time has come. Time has come. And there are many other coins here. Right? Here's the temple coin. You remember this? And here's the Abraham Accord. Also issued by Israel. Wow. Even with the signature of Mr. Trump. Isn't that amazing? Right? Don't think it is just something silly. No. The nation of Israel will not do something like that without them convincing that this man will help them. And today, take a look. Which man is for Israel? Which government in the world is pro-Israel? Germany? Right? Where? No one. Biden is pro-Israel, although he's a Jew. Oh, he is against Israel. Oh, he's a Jew. Yeah, he really is. Check his DNA, okay? Is a Jew. Is a Jew thus. Right. So these are signs. These are signs. So we are expecting something after the inauguration because he's the only president that really pro-Israel, not only in words, but in deeds. The two things in his first term that is so important for Israel was declaring Jerusalem to be the eternal capital. And secondly, establishing, making that covenant with many, the Abraham Accords, which is a sign showing that the last week in Daniel chapter 9 verse 27 is happening. That's why I do have confidence to say that we will experience the opening of the sixth seal. And we will see how this man will help Israel, firstly, to resume the offering of sacrifices, and then the rebuilding of the temple. Okay? Amen? Aren't you excited? Yeah, we better be excited. Because these are amazing events that's going to happen before our eyes. Right? But then it's not just to be excited. We have to prepare ourselves to be raptured, to be the first fruits. This is the most important thing. Well, the Lord have mercy on us. Praise the Lord, yeah? We can have some prayers.